Good morning. 00 hours. Partly cloudy. 63 degrees. Good morning. 0100 hours. Mostly clear. 60 degrees. Good morning. 0200 hours. Mostly clear. 56 degrees. Good morning. 0300 hours. Clear. 57 degrees. Good morning. 0400 hours. Clear. 55 degrees. Good morning. 0500 hours. Clear. 54 degrees. Good morning. 0600 hours. Clear. 52 degrees. Good morning. 0700 hours. Sunny. 51 degrees.
WBAT monitoring. Maybe it was. Good morning. I think there's a station out there, but got very, very little. WBAT Walt here. Hey, Walt, it's 881. Well, good morning, Lance. A cool morning it is. Out in a bit.
Yep, got a head in the office today.
Well, it's better than heading to the foundry. Look at the bright side.
Yeah, we gotta go. I'll stand around the car and talk about what we want to do to it.
Other than work, have you been doing anything this summer? Vacation? Travel? Eating out?
No, not really. I've gone out of my parents' boat a few times, but other than that, my money's going towards other things.
Oh, what kind of boat do they have and where do they keep it? What size? What displacement? How fast will it go?
What is that thing? I think it's a 30-foot, I want to say it's a Sea Ray, but they keep it at Beacon's Cove. It's an interesting story. They co-own it with my stepdad's ex-wife and her husband. they both had their own separate boats and were going to the same place every weekend, so they came across this boat and, went into it together.
I'll be darned. My youngest son went and put in bay and for a poker run. He sold his boat last summer, I think it was, yeah. Anyway, they were the boat that handed out the cards. It was a 50-foot Viking, if you're familiar with boats. You know, it's a really an offshore ocean fishing boat. And he had a good time.
We went there once when I was a kid with the boat we had.
Yeah, decades ago, my father-in-law and mother-in-law went to Put-in Bay from Groseal, where he kept his boat. And he hit the rough water, rough weather, dislocated his shoulder.
And we used to rags there at the, there's a marina right next to Beacon's Cove, right at the neighbor. And we left from there, went out there, and the way there was fine, but the way back was not the nice smooth water we had the way there, and actually managed to get that boat on the water. But, it was an interesting trip. It was like our first night sleeping on the boat, and then we were driving the golf cart around the island all the time.
Yeah, I've never experienced weather like that around here. Have you ever seen that reality show Wicked Tuna, where they're out there fishing rod and reel tuna off the Atlantic Ocean?
No, I've heard of it, but I haven't particularly watched that one. We haven't had TV in years. When the kids were born, it was watching the same old kid movies and kids shows, and just was not worth having it. And we ended up dropping our cable, and we didn't even bother hooking up an antenna for a while. We just watched their streaming services.
Yeah, they're off the coast of North Carolina. Anyway, as a young adult, 17, I think I was 17 then, I took a boat. You mentioned rough. I took a different boat, not a fishing boat. I won't get into it. Out of that same port, and for a different purpose. Instead of going to the ocean, we went to what's called a sound. Well, everything was perfect, just beautiful, just gorgeous. Spent the day out there for a different purpose, and on the way back, there again. It's, we're talking off the coast of North Carolina, just roaring. Oh, my God. I thought it was exciting at 17. I really did.
I got to get some petrol, so I will be back in a few. See you immediately.
Another purpose? Did we have to smell your finger? Good morning, Sean. If you want to hear the long story, I will tell you.
Oh, good morning, Lance. Good morning, Walt.
Yeah, the other purpose.
I've got all these things are going through mind. I'm like, okay, what was he up to?
Well, the boat was a repurposed either Admiral's or Captain's gig. Two cabins, the coxswain stood in the middle, two Detroit, which I remember, diesel engines, and we went to a over-the-shoulder range, target range, and I think it was a Pamlico Sound. We're talking 1959, maybe 1960. Anyway, you've never seen the aircraft. It would drop a dummy bomb, and the target would be a grounded, a bottomed-out, a landing craft in the middle. That was the target. And you climbed up this two- or three-story tower, observation tower, and you radio back to another station who would coordinate how close the bomb came to the target. Over the shoulder, like the Enola Gay, when you drop a bomb, you have to make a quick turn. So you would imagine that'd be dropping nuclear bombs. Anyway, quite an exciting day.
Okay, I think that you were one of the observers or the reporters up in the crow's nest, eh?
Yeah, that was just for one day. We came from our target range, which was landbound, to the waterbound, and the guys water skied out to the to the towers. They really did. It was I was fortunate in the service. I was very, very, very fortunate. peacetime Navy, took advantage of what I could see and do, and shore duty was just a gift. Other people, you know, like my brother, you know, combat Marine in Vietnam, not an exciting thing to do. He enjoyed everything till he hit Vietnam.
Yeah, I imagine so. So if you were in 5960, then you were pretty much out. I don't think you stayed beyond one term. You were out before things really got ramped up in Nam, eh?
Yeah, I got discharged in 62, October the 11th. I was supposed to get discharged October 20th, but the ship was in dry dock, and they gave me what's called a cut. They called me one morning and said, you're out. I kicked out of that. Luckily, Charlene was still working at the Naval Operations Base in Norfolk. Anyway, and I think by the 22nd, I believe October 22nd, I could be wrong on the date, the Cuban Missile Crisis started. You couldn't buy a job in Norfolk. Charlene and I were going to stay in Norfolk just, you know, for a while. We're expecting our first baby, which was my son. But things didn't work out. You couldn't make a living there. You could not make a living. People were leaving Norfolk because it was within missile range from Cuba.
I take it Charlene was from down there. That was her stomping grounds.
No, Charlene was from Warren, Michigan. I met her when I was 14 or 15. I can't really remember. She was my first and only true love. And we got married at 18. Didn't have to. There was no shuggly-muggly before. I know people are wondering, what the hell is he talking about? There was no shuggly-muggly before we got married. And, yeah, it was exciting, Sean. You know, it was exciting. She worked at Tancom. The ship came in after we got married from a cruise. Went to the hotel. Went back to the ship the next morning. Came back that afternoon, evening. She was packing. I said, what is this, a one-night stand? She said, no, I found us a place to live. And I took my Tancom, you know, which was Army. She was a civilian GS-3, I think she wound up being, and transferred over to the Navy. And that's the kind of woman I married, really. So we had a good life. We had a good life down there. We could see things. It was different than Sean. You know, now a kid that's 17 graduates from high school and they go to Cancun for a week.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. So she packed up and found a way to follow you around, eh? Very good. Got just traveled with whatever you're... Where all did you live in the service? Who's that? Oh, I thought it was a ham call sign plate. It was November Alpha Echo Echo, and I looked at it and go, what call sign is that? And then it occurred to me, it's not a call sign, it's just a vanity plate.
Yeah, it probably means something in Arabic. Where did I live? Well, the Outer Banks of North Carolina was my shore duty. On paper, I was stationed in Virginia. But in reality, I was in North Carolina, and then Norfolk, and yeah, that was great. That was great. Like I said, you know, for us, younger than hell, and, you know, didn't even need to shave every day. a different world, Sean. Like I said, now that, you know, kids graduate from high school, they're in Cancun for a week, traveling all over. But, yeah. It's a good life.
Leave a little room for Lance to jump back in. Okay, I thought maybe you bounced around a little bit, but it sounds like most of your... I know you talk about being in the Med, being here and being there, but those are just little tours, I guess. Your mainstay was in Virginia/North Carolina. Okay. Well, not a bad place to be. It's certainly a high on my list of places to live. Although I've not spent a lot of time down there, so I wouldn't spend any time anywhere unless I spent a little time in the area getting to know it first. But everything I've read and seen puts it high on the list of places I wouldn't mind checking out. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, a place I wouldn't want to be is Florida, you know, year-round. You know, with this latest tropical storm / Category 1 hurricane that hit Florida, I get on YouTube and all that and, you know, see the flooded homes, the flooded streets, the cars still rolling around. And if you have a condo there, you know, the increase in HOA fees because of the new laws that are going to kick in next year, the lack of insurance available, homeowners insurance or condo insurance, and it's like, okay, you got your Florida place. Now, having said that, because of weather change, climate change, 20 years ago, the people, you know, snowbirds loved it. Very little hurricane activity, not like it is now, or tropical storm, so a different world.
Oh, yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. I just, I went, you know, snowbirding it, going down there for a couple of February, I suppose, something like that. I could probably do. I don't have any interest in doing it, but, I mean, if I was going to do the snowbird thing, I'd probably be looking elsewhere. And, I like Texas, believe it or not. I liked it, but, you know, I don't have a tie there anymore. When the kids were there, you know, I would get down there a couple times a year. But with that gone, I don't know why I would go to Texas. But have some acquaintances there, but nobody, no family. So anyhow, yeah, I'd want to stay clear of that. Anyhow. Now, just like we've talked about this more than once. I'm pretty happy right where I am. So stay here. This license plate has got me thinking, though, switching gears here on you, Walt. The license plate is November 8, always eating, and it made me think of Carl. Have you heard from Carl? I know last he was in a, convalescing in a place not far from my work. I have not heard about him since.
I haven't. And I think he has a hot spot in Wires X handhelds and stuff like that, but I don't know if he could use it in that facility or if he's still there or if he's home. I have no idea. So getting back to your daughter and son-in-law on that, are they happy they made the move? I was talking to a guy on one of the rooms yesterday from Texas, and it was going to reach near 100 degrees yesterday. I forgot what city.
Well, they certainly don't miss the heat. They said it was rather oppressive in the, July, August. It was really, really horrible. And, you just did what you could to deal with it, right? Air conditioning, don't stay out, you know, outside too long or do too much strenuous work outside. But aside from that, they were down, right on the Gulf, down in Houston. So I guess it was not dry heat. I think you always hear people in Arizona, well, it's a dry heat. And they're quite happy. Of course, Megan's from here, as you well know. And Dan is from here, her husband. And so they wanted to get back to family, and they wanted to live in a community that was walkable and had a really high walk score. And they got that. They got the community is very strong where they're at, and just a lot going on. So, all in all, they're very, very happy with the move. And he's a remote worker with a lot of flying. You know, he's got to fly places, but he remote works out of there and is managing to stay here. So. They're tickled pink to be back.
Oh, good. Yeah, you're right about the community. Actually, Sterling Heights isn't that bad. Oh, I think on August 24th, they're going to have the Polish parade or something, Polish Day in Warren. Hopefully, I'm feeling better today, by the way. It's crazier now. I was checking into a net yesterday, and I got up and I go from my seat and I go, God, I feel better all of a sudden, my hip. And got up this morning and I go, I feel better. So I think I'm on the mend.
Well, that's good. I know it can be, it seems like it takes me a lot longer to mend from things these, you know, than I used to. But just gotta take it easy. So, well, good. You'll have to let me know when you're up for a little outing or something like that. We can either go do the wonton or who knows, we could even do the get in one of the Buddhist Meditation Center visits before the end of the year. There's probably another good six weeks of that or so. There's probably another good two or three of them before they're all done.
I'll check with the gal, you know, Sherry, who comes up by, but she wrote down on this one, August 25th might be the last one. Having said that, the supermarket 168, I'm real bad on explaining things. They're putting together something like the Buddhist temple. You probably have to go to the internet to check that out. You know, in other words, an open air something or another.
Oh, okay, very interesting. I wonder if they're going to do it right there in the lot. There's plenty of room in that lot all the time, so that would be interesting. I'll have to get online and check that out when I get in. I wonder if Lance got back. I am just pulling up to the drive-through window here at Tim Hortons by work. I'm going to drop the mic here for a second, make my order. I ain't going nowhere, though.
Take a large copy, double-double.
I have one car back of the pedestal here, so, ha-ha, you didn't get me. Walt?
Good morning again, Lance. Hopefully we made enough space for you to come back in, unless you didn't want to. Over to you, Lance.
Oh, I was just listening, enjoying the conversation.
Well, he must be ordered. You moved out to where, Macomb County? I'm trying to remember. It's been a couple of years, hasn't it?
Well, I was in Macomb Township, but in 2020 I moved to Grand Blanc, and then 23 I moved out to Flushing.
Where is Flushing? I probably heard of it. I meant Macomb Township, by the way, yeah. Where is Flushing? I mean, are you into beet farming or something like that?
It is northwest of Flint, like due west of Mount Morris, kind of Mount Morris Clock area.
Oh, wow. Huh. I don't mean it negative or... You know, are you like a prepper?
No, it was just kind of the price range and area that I was looking for, and I would kind of, you know, wanting to have a few acres of meat, but wasn't really hard set on it, but I was trying to stay within a half hour of the kids and out of Flint, so there was you know, for the price range I was in, and it was slim pins and walk in enough grow houses and turn around. This one was a decent house, so I ended up snatching it up.
He likes to walk around in boots and his BBBs. He needs to be out there. That's funny. That is so funny. Yeah, if you heard Sean and I talk a lot, I love it around this area here. I really do. Lived here other than, you know, military, but just love the area. You know, when I used to hunt and fish, fishing's phenomenal. Love my Detroit River fishing, Lake St. Clair ice fishing. You know, go to Canada. Oh, just great. I don't know, maybe it's me, but it's like I caught the golden era where you could have fun, you know, with a minimal boat, 16-foot aluminum, a meat wagon, catch a lot of walleye, go ice fishing, pheasant hunting, duck hunting, stuff like that. But at 82, I'm a realist. At 82, I'm on the downslide, truthfully, and I realize it. I realize it. You know, a little fall screws you up for a couple weeks, things of that nature. Lance, WBAE.
Hey, Dale. Yeah, I liked it down there. I grew up in Warren. Used to go ride my bike where you go watch your deer. Out of there and out of the traffic, it just, now when you go back, it just can't stand it, you know, and it just, I like where I'm at. I get, you know, see deer in the yard and turkey and all sorts of little critters.
I don't know, man. I get that right where I'm at now. As a matter of fact, I had a fawn and her mother were living in my backyard. They were out staring in my back window last night or this morning when I got up, and all sorts of other critters. It's crazy how much the wildlife's been coming back down here. But I wouldn't mind getting out a little ways. You know, I've back forth. I'm a city boy. I love the city. I really do. I like people watching. I could just go sit on a boardwalk, go get a coffee and sit and watch people watch in Ferndale, Royal Oak, Detroit, you know, and something like that. And I would miss that. I do that a lot, you know, in the summer months. I would miss that if I moved to a too rural area. So I'd have far too far to travel in order to partake. So I'm kind of good with where I'm at, but I do, I'm attracted to the whole get out of ways and get property. The only thing that would stop me now, Lance, at Andrea and my age and health, you know, not me so much, but Andrea in particular, we got to be a little closer to medical, So that would be the one thing that would keep me from doing that now. You know, you get there and you say, okay, now it's time to go get that, you know, 5 acres in the country, and then you think, I kind of got to be near the city services. So isn't it life cruel? They should let you retire when you're young, and you can do everything, and then go to work, you know, afterwards. Walt?
Oh, you're right about the medical. You're absolutely right. You know, I'm not 14 to Van Dyke. Oh, by the way, Lance, there was three wild turkeys there at the Red Run Drain there south of 14 on Van Dyke. Anyway, in my life now, you know, Charlene and I looked at Marysville, not so much, but, you know, just out in that area there. And I think for the most part you have a volunteer fire department and stuff like that. If you're out there in Marine City, they have to take you into Port Huron. I'm 5 minutes away from a hospital, which is really great, really great. Of course, the hospital is getting a little third world, let me put it that way. Lance?
I get the medical. It's one thing that probably stopped me from moving to EP. But the nice thing where I'm at is, you know, I'm not far from Flint. It's about 15 minutes to McLaren, Flint, if I had to go there. Still close to city stuff, but out in the rural, and been there over a year. I haven't even met my neighbors yet. but it was about a month ago. I was got out of the shower, and there was a bunch of little tiny birds that were going across my lawn. What the heck is that? And there was about a dozen baby turkeys in my lawn with the three mamas. They all moved across the lawn and moved on. Sean?
Well, I know we've got turkeys by us. I've seen them in the area, but I have not seen those in my yard or around my house. You know, they're near. Remember when Charles was living in that apartment complex down by 11 and DeQuinter? He had turkeys that would show up to his back window, his back door wall, like every morning, like, you know, pecking at his window waiting for him to come out and feed him. I'm like, what the hell, 11 and DeQuinter? That's crazy. I've had them in a subdivision, but that's the one that I haven't seen a whole lot of, but they're all over. I've seen people, you know, somebody had a picture of a whole bunch of them just walking around a pole up in Utica, and they're right out like M59 and Van Dyke, and they're just like, you know, they're all walking around a pole in a circle, whatever the hell that's all about. So, yeah, turkeys are nuts. I remember the first time we were up north, turkeys weren't around at all in the 80s, and we were deer hunting up in Algiers, and we had this old guy that we used to hunt with, and he comes in and he goes, I just saw a turkey. Everybody just went, oh, you're drunk. You know, it's like, you didn't see no turkey. Within 2 years of him saying that, you couldn't go nowhere without kicking a turkey. It was crazy. Paul, W8FU.
KBS monitoring. Go right ahead and pick it up and throw it to whoever you want to.
Good morning, Sean. And to whoever else is out. You guys are talking turkeys out here. You got to remember, a field between me and the hospital, between my campus and the hospital, we got everything back there. And turkeys have come through the fencing or flown over the fencing. And we have them hanging around our dumpster areas here on campus. So seeing turkeys, which is about maybe 3 years ago is when I first saw turkeys out here, that surprised me. On to the next.
Yeah, it was, I think, springtime. I went outside and didn't see the turkeys in the yard and was outside looking at something. All of a sudden I hear the boom of the bird and look over and the giant turkey's flying over my head. It's like, holy cow, I didn't even know these things could fly. Sean?
Good morning, Donald. And welcome to Amateur Radio. Walt, Donald is a radio friend from another band who recently got his license. I think it's KFABXS. W8FU, and then pass it to Walt.
Well, good morning, Donald. The call here is WB8E. It's mentioned the name is Walt. Well, welcome aboard. I'm here at 14 in Van Dyke area. About three winters ago, I used to make my homemade applesauce. I was noted for it. And I would take the apple peels and the core and go feed the deer south of 14 on the east side of Van Dyke by the Red Run Drain property. And I would get my kerneled corn and Menards, which is right down the block. You know, then it was $10 for a 50-pound bag of kerneled corn. And, we had a terrific snow that day. Not horrible, but anyway, 22 deer came out because people up and down the other side of the street was like a subdivision, and the other side of the street was Red Run Drain property. And that's where all the deer were, 22 deer. Let me turn it over to Donald, and you can pass it to Lance, okay?
I thank you, and thank you for the nice welcome. Yeah, I reside at 11 and a half in DeQuinder, just north of Ascension Macomb Hospital there, Oakland Macomb Hospital, and there's this massive field between my senior campus and the hospital. And it's just a plethora of every kind of critter, including, you know, deer and stuff. But in recent years, we've had some coyotes move in and have killed off a lot of the wildlife, including some of the deer. And that's the sad part. But, yeah, when I turned my radio on, the first thing I heard you guys were talking about was turkeys. So, yeah, we have turkeys here, rabbits, skunks. Yeah, we got the skunks. But, especially an area where Sean and I live, we're like a half a mile from each other. Industrial strip malls, the old Universal Mall. I'm surprised we see that much wildlife out here. Over to, I believe, Lance is his name.
Yep, that's Warren for you. When I was in high school, we found Red Run reindeer riding their bikes in a little path we found there, and found a whole bunch of deer back there. It's just one of those things you don't really think you're ever gonna find there, and there it is. It's just enough nature around that they made it home. CBY, go ahead, Sean.
Let me try a different radio here. Hopefully this sounds all right.
Anywho,
I just walked in the shop and I got to get going here and figure out what the day is going to bring. So I will cut you guys loose. I'll be listening. I may jump in a little bit, but got to see what emails I've got come in, and anything pressing has got to be taken care of. The rest of the crew comes in about 10 minutes. Well, within the next 10 minutes, they're all coming in. So I want to get a heads up on what's going on. I'll be listening. Walt, pick it up. W8FU.
Okay, Sean, and I'm going to pass it to Donald because I have to make a pit stop. And once again, Donald, welcome aboard. I don't know what radio you're using, but you sound really great. I've got a handheld here in my family room. So that's about it on my end. Everybody stay safe. Donald, WBAE.
Thank you all for that welcome. And the radio I'm using is a Wooxon, Wooxoff, as Sean likes to call them. And it's the model KGUV9PX, and it's kind of like a tactical radio. In a way, it's small, it's compact. 70 centimeter, 2 meter, 8.5 and 3 wattage output. And I've got the GMRS version of it. So when I got this one, it's easy for me to program. It's identical to the GMRS version that I had. I've had that one for about 2 years. Can't tell them apart until you look at the antenna or read the fine print on the screen. So that's about it for me here. I, too, have to get going because I have a doctor's appointment in an hour. I haven't even gotten into the shower yet. So, gentlemen, thank you. You'll be hearing a little bit more from me. That's about it. KF8, BXS, we're clear.
Yeah, where you're at, you probably unscrew the antenna and still hit the repeater. Need to get a copy. 73, I'll be listening to you.
Hey, Don, really quick, welcome to the other side, Wally, NAKBB. Thank you, Wally. Much appreciated. License just came up Saturday morning, just as we were having breakfast or something like that, because before it wasn't really there. And all I did over the most of the weekend was just get this thing programmed. I tried to get it programmed with Chirp, but my computer crashed. That's why I hate using aftermarket software. I mean, my computer crashed. And to the doghouse with a significant other, because I spent more time trying to retrieve my computer so I can get this radio programmed But, yeah, it seems to be functioning now. Everything's good. All right, we'll catch AF-8. Was it KF-8? Ah, brain fart. PXF.
Later, Gator. I need to get to work, too. N-8-K-P-P.
Good morning. 0800 hours. Sunny. 53 degrees.
AEA-TFM mobile.
Good morning. 0900 hours. Sunny. 60 degrees. Good morning, 1000 hours. Sunny. 66 degrees.
NHKPP mobile.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Sunny. 68 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours, sunny, 71 degrees.
KF-8BOT.
Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Sunny. 73 degrees.
N-8-K-P-P on 625.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Sunny. 73 degrees.
K-8-P-P. KZ-8Z, just doing a radio check. Does anyone have a copy? I'm just trying to see if I'm making it into the tower.
K-8BB. Oh, yeah, you're loud and clear into the repeater.
Oh, awesome, Wally. I'm at, what is this, Orchard Lake Golf Club. Just volunteering for the day. I know it's rough. On a hole-in-one hole, I got a monitor to see if somebody wins. I'm just sitting out here with my HT. I was wondering if I was making it in, so that's awesome. I'm going into the West Bloomfield repeater.
Yeah, you're in pretty good. This is John, K-8BB. I think you might have sounded like Wally. But anyway, yeah, you're in pretty good. And you're in the right getting into the right repeater for that location, that's for sure.
Okay, and sorry about that, Don. I think Wally's call ends in a KPP, I believe. So that's what had me confused. I apologize. Now I can hear your voice. Yeah, cool. Okay, thanks for coming back, Don. I'm going to get back to the game here. 73, man. KZ8Z.
Yeah, no worries at all. And I'll tell you, I'm mobile, but you're really strong into the repeater. You're real clean, so you're no problems with that at all. All right, enjoy the game. Hope you got lots of aces to witness. KZ8Z, KZ8BD.
KF8BOT mobile.
I think it was KF8BOT. Welcome. Congratulations. This is K8BB. Name is Don, also mobile. Good afternoon.
Better stop scaring people away like that.
It's my aggressive personality. I can't help it.
Sounded like a newbie wanted to get out there and key his microphone off, and you scared him away.
Well, I try to be a kinder, gentler ham, but I don't know how that happened.
All right, I'll forgive you this time, but watch your P's and Q's next time.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Thank you very much, WIW.
K8BB.
I'll be right up here.
Good afternoon, Sean, KE8VSI.
Good afternoon. I'm in a conference call, and they're not talking about anything of any interest to me at all, or anything that I could come to bear on. So I figured I'd get some radio time in while I drive from point A to point B.
Yeah, I hate those. Kind of a waste of time, but you never know if they might hit on something that does pertain to you.
Anyhow, yeah, I'm just trying to keep my ear on it in case it does start to move into an area I'm interested in. Well, I could weigh in on, I should say, or where they need my expertise. It's not a matter whether I'm interested or not. That's irrelevant.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Just sitting here messing around with a bunch of computer stuff. I'm actually setting up my Windows box. Normally I run on my Mac. I've got a Windows box for programming radios and stuff like that. Decided to try the WSJT on there with the new Super Hound mode, Super Fox and Hound, to get that DX expedition that's going on, but I can't hear them.
When you say messing around with computers, I mean, how many you got?
Total, probably a half a dozen, but operational, I've got my main Mac, which is, you know, what I live on, and then I've got a little Dell desktop that I use for my Windows stuff that I can't do on a Mac, you know, like some of the radios that need to be programmed and stuff like that, and other Windows-specific applications, and then I've got a MacBook Pro, which was what I used before I bought the new Mac. And I use that for POTA and sitting at on my lazy boy out of the office kind of thing.
Sorry about that. Every once in a while I tune in to try to see if the conversation's moving in a direction that's going to blindside me. But yeah, okay, no, I get that. I got you know, a similar situation. I'll tell you what, my MacBook Pro, that was the closest I ever had to perfection. You know, it was an Intel-based, so it ran, you know, it ran all the Windows stuff perfectly fine, and, you know, I've done it both ways. I've actually booted into Windows with it, Of course, it worked spectacularly that way, but later on, I just ran virtual machines, and, oh, it was so nice to just have a Windows window up on my Mac that I was doing all my programming, and it worked so good. I'm going to miss that. It makes me, I know I've been told not to buy, you know, a 2020, but part of me says, man, go get a, you know, I got this 2013. It's fine. I run it right now. I still run it. If I was to get a 2020, the last of the X86 Max, that'd take me another 5-10 years, you know, and I could get one really good price, and I could run all that other stuff. I don't know. I know. The new stuff is so much better, you know, it's designed around the Mac OS, but, man, I love the compatibility of the old Intel-based.
Yeah, I know what you mean. My MacBook Pro is Intel. It's a 2015, and I tell you what, when I'm sitting out in my great room doing, I can do whatever I want. It does not fail me. It does not really lag at all. I mean, I could tell it's not the speed of my new one, but barely. I mean, just barely, and that's only if I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff. And, yeah, I can dual boot it into Windows, and I can run Parallels for a virtual machine. I do both. And I even run Parallels on the new one, which is I think it's an M2 chip, not Intel. But it can only run the 64-bit ARM version of Windows. I can't run Windows 10 with it. So therein lies the problem. It's not too much of a problem, but there are some things that don't work right. So as opposed to the MacBook Pro, which is Intel-based, everything works perfectly. So there's that.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I'm still thinking about, you know, the biggest, baddest, very last Intel MacBook that I can get my hands on. And, you know, that'll buy me another decade probably at the way I compute. And that would be, I'd be able to do just about anything I want. And then on the other hand, I can just take this one I got, convert it over to a programming machine, and that could just be my portable machine to program in the field, and I don't need to. So I don't know. There's a lot of ways. I just don't feel like carrying a bunch around. You know, this thing is perfectly fine when I'm sitting in a coffee, web browsing, attending a meeting or something like that. It's perfectly adequate. So, you know, I figure one that's 8 years newer and a lot bulkier, you know, more memory and hard drive and all that, flash drive, be even better. I probably would be fine for quite some time. Ah, oh well, you know the dilemma. So, bottom line is I really don't need a, you know, I've got 1, 2, 3 work laptops. One, my MacBook Pro, which is with me everywhere I go, handles an internet appliance, basically, does some streaming for me. That's about all it does anymore. But, yeah, that's 4. The last thing I need to do is add a 5th.
Yeah, well, if you did get the new one, like you were saying, you would have to move everything off that 2013 and retire it. I did find a 2019 on Marketplace yesterday, 32 gig, 1 terabyte, good graphics card, 16-inch, which is big, but I like them big, for $500, and that was a screaming good deal. The problem is I don't need with that bad enough to do it. I mean, if mine was getting squirrely on me or running slow or whatever, I would have jumped on it. So anyway, I let KZHZ Dave know about it because he's kind of looking. I think he threw an offer out there, but haven't heard back on what he's doing with it or what happened with that.
All right, still off in the weeds on things on my call. Yeah, so, that's like me, looking for the biggest, baddest, Intel-based MacBook I can get my hands on. If I find the right deal on one, I'll jump. So if you see one that's particularly good, let me know. But anyhow, yeah, speaking of Dave, has he, I know he's played a little bit with the 7300, but has he done anything with the router? Has he decided to come over to the dark side?
Oh, yeah, lots with the 7300, both home and field use. We took it to the park the other day. The router, I think, is still in the box. That's something that would be a little more challenging for him, I think. Not that he can't do it. He certainly can, and then he can figure it out. Or I could help him, of course. But so the answer is no, I believe it's still in the box. Probably wait until he has a good chunk of time because of all of his life work at home and, you know, all the stuff you got around the house. You want the minimal amount of downtime while you're converting.
Oh, yeah. No, I knew that would be a little bit heavier lift. Than, you know. Although, I'll tell you what, I really expected, because I had a MikroTik all configured for my home network, and I had a lot going on with that, and I was really, really impressed with how well the Asus just jumped in and took over. I was almost up and running in no time flat, so... It was, and that's a testament to, you know, Asus and their UI and everything, and their they do a damn good job, and so the thing pretty much comes up swinging.
KE8VSI, yeah, I agree, and then Dave has also been stuck with the. Comcast or AT&T routers forever, and so they're just impossible and cumbersome and yucky for a user to do anything weird with.
15,
so he kind of shies away
hours.
From it. And then beyond that, really, really super old stuff that
degrees.
You know you could figure out. But yeah, this new stuff it'd probably be a lot easier. And then once it is running, just figuring stuff out. Like you said, it lays itself out pretty good. So. I'm sure when he opens the box, it won't be too big a deal.
I'll tell you the one thing I miss, and I don't find as convenient or nice, and it's important to me, is I can't, you know, make the devices on the network static, or change their IP addresses, move them around quite as easily as I could on like the MikroTik or. My that year before that, I don't trust the DHCP servers telling me everything I need to know. I know there's devices hooked up to the network that aren't showing up as having a leaf in their when I query it. I'm just not real comfortable with what it's telling me is on my network. And then when I find something, if I find something that it was assigned an IP, the DHCP, I should be able to just click on it and say, make static, and then assign it an IP, and it should be a done deal. I may have to reboot the device, right, you know, but it shouldn't be difficult. And, you know, MikroTik was real easy for me to do that. I was, you know, looking straight, but I'm not finding it as easy with this one. And again, I don't completely trust what it's telling me is on my network. So, I don't know, maybe I should run a third-party, you know, package or software to handle telling me what my network looks like. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never tried to do it that way. I've only got a couple devices that I need a static IP on, and I do it at the device. And I've always done it that way. I've never done it through the DHCP server, so I can't really speak to that. If maybe it's something you're overlooking, or maybe it just is cumbersome with the Asus, or just a different way of doing it than your MikroTik or anything else you may have had. So yeah, I don't know, and I don't know that I would ever explore that because once or twice every few years I need a static IP, I'll just make the device a static IP and be done with it. So, but yeah, you're right. I think properly you should be able to do it from DHCP from a network admin standpoint where, you know, you're running the network from your router, not the other way around.
Hold on here. And figure out if they're... Oh, no, they're still doing... Nope, they're still on to something I'm not part of. They do have an area where you can manually assign an IP. Go in there, and you find the device, and I'm not completely comfortable that everything is showing up with reasonably in that list, but you find your device in there, and you click on it, and then you say, okay, manually assign it this IP. and you would expect it's done at that point. But yet, I can reboot the thing over and over and over again, and it keeps coming up and going to that one that it got assigned to DHCP. You know, and it's like, and I've unplugged the devices, I've waited, you know, I've set the lease renewal times, you know, really low to make sure that they, you know, it dumps them and, you know, and hasn't requested a new lease, and then when it's not there, you know, it gets the assignment. I've tried everything I can think of, and I just cannot get some of the things to drop the IPs they were assigned when they initially hit the network, even though I properly got them identified and I've assigned them a manual IP, they still insist on taking the one that, you know, now I go to the device and set it there, it'll do whatever I tell it to do, right? But I don't feel like doing that, you know, because now I got to go traipsing around the house and I don't remember how to log into this. I can't figure out how to log into that. How did I do it on that device? How did I do it on this device? You know, it's like, and I manage all mine. I want all my video cameras in this block. I want all this and there and all that stuff. You know, I'm just a pretty OCD when it comes to my IP addresses. And, you know, so that's why I'm doing this. But, yeah, like I said, with the Microtik and the Netgear before that, it was very, very, you know, there it is. Find out what I want, done.
Yep, roger that. No, maybe I'll take a stab at one device or something. I've got a new Pi Star I'll probably assign a static IP to. Yeah, but I'll try that from the router and see how it works. And go from there. Because I like that idea better. It's actually a better way to do it. So, yeah, once it sees the MAC address, you assign it that, and then every time it sees that, it should give it that IP. You know, lickety split. No, it shouldn't be an issue at all. So, cool. All right, well, I'm going to get back at my project here and find some more stuff that I'm trying to figure out. So, I'm going to let you go for now, and we'll talk to you soon. KEABSI.
Okay, well, just one final note on that. I have gotten the bulk of my devices where I want them. You know, some of them weren't too bad. I just had to reboot the device for it to find the one manually assigned. Other ones I had to fidget around with, and I had to reboot them, and I had to force them, and I had to do all sorts of crazy stuff. But I eventually got them. I got my Pis, all my All-Star instance. I do most of my ham stuff up in the 200s, you know, so I start everything up in, you know, and I start like my, 221 is my first node, 222 is my second, 223 is my third, my Pi Star, you know, is 224, my open spot's 225, so they're all up there in the 220s, and, you know, and I managed to get them all up there. They're all up there doing what they're supposed to do, but I did have to really fiddle around to get them to go, and there's a couple devices I still haven't, you know, successfully got over, so, you know, like I said, you'll find it works. You know, but it's just some things get persnickety. All right, catch you later. Have fun. And get back to my call and find out where we are in it.
All right, very good. KEABSI.
Galvia.
To everybody leave when I join the party.
Was that you over there making funnies?
Making funnies where? I make funnies everywhere.
Somebody did a jack over on the other band. But Jack's out there, so I don't know. Maybe it was him.
No, it wasn't me. I don't have GLMS programmed in this radio anymore.
Alrighty then.
Well, I do. It's just not in PMG. How about that? You guys are hooking up Pi Stars?
No, we were just talking. We both have Asus routers, fairly robust ones. And we just got Dave KZ8Z on one. He's running that horrible, horrible Xfinity router. So we got him into a Asus router. So we're just waiting for him to switch his network over. Yeah, but I was just mentioning to Dave how I'm, that's the only thing, I love the new Asus router. I think it's fantastic. It's well done. Works really good. Very good UI. But for some reason, it's just not really, you know, easy or predictable in manually assigning IPs. And I am I'm OCD about manually assigning IPs on my network.
Yeah, I just have a static IP, static IP lease table, and if it sees the MAC address, it dishes out that IP address. I think that's what you were suggesting to Greg.
Well, in something like an ASUS and even the MikroTik, you just find the device and you just say, you know, manually, you know, click it to DHCP to manual for that, you know, for that, is this my street? Yeah, this is my street. Anyhow, you just tell it, you know, take this IP and it should be it. You know, next time it boots, it should go to the IP toll that's manually assigned to that MAC address. And it ain't that easy. I've done that, and I found when I reboot, the damn things keep going to the... I even set the lease to expire. I knew the lease had expired, so it wasn't that. And, you know, still, I boot it up, and it grabs that stupid DHCP. It's like, this doesn't make sense. And I don't want to go to the device and set them. I mean, I will if I have to, but I'd rather manage it from the driver's seat. Anyhow... Just about us manually assigning IP addresses is all. It's just not as, ASUS has not been as easy as any of my other routers. That's all.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be done. I mean, that's the way to do it, but that's weird that it's not expiring or giving you a new lease unless the computer or the device is just, like, remembering its last, lease time or something. That's the only thing I can think of, but I guess you guys will figure it out. I don't have one of those routers, so I don't know about that problem.
Yeah, I've managed to get most of them over, and but a couple I just, no matter what I did, I couldn't get them to go, so I just... Hold on a second. Okay.
The pedestrian sally port is how people move from the VSP and to the transportation.
All right. I'm on a conference call here, and it's way off in the weeds that doesn't involve me at all. I just got to pay attention if it takes a turn.
Yeah, speaking of calls, it's like the movers that moved my couch into the garage. They went on to a Zoom call, and I, like, fell asleep on the couch. It's like, oh, this is nice. But it was, I won't give the details of the call, but it was very repetitive, and they were repeating the same thing over and over again. So it's like, when is it over?
Yeah, sometimes they're brutal. This one here is very necessary. Got all the technology people in for the new construction, and right now we're going over all the, it's more about, you know, how do you want this to work in the new facility. And so, you know, it's not about the technology of making it work. It's more about how do you want this to work here, how do you want this to work here, and it's more architectural, I guess, in nature. So so they're just doing that right now, and it doesn't really involve me. I'm going to be, you know, the nuts and bolts when it gets to implementation.
KF8S. So now I'm driving back to my house because I changed my shoes when I went to do the lawn, and I wore the wrong shoes home, and I got these old green shoes that I'm wearing right now. I was like all set to not have to go back today, and then I was like, left my shoes there. I don't have another pair I can wear.
Hold on, I think they're pulling me in, sorry. WFU.
THGVK Williamson monitoring. THGVK, try a little power here, about 4 watts. THGVK Williamson listening.
W8MC.
Yeah, who's that? K8GVK again. Yeah, Kira's at the mobile station, K8GVK.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Sunny. 77 degrees.
KF8DOT mobile.
KF8DOT, this is KF8AYL. KF8DOT, this is KF8AYL. You got a copy?
Good copy, KF8AYL. This is KF8DOT mobile on Holly Road just west of I-75.
All right, copy that. Yeah, I'm hearing Bert Run coming off the Guilford Tower in the Thumb on a beautiful afternoon here.
Yes, it is. I just got back this weekend from work down in St. Louis where it was 106 just about every day, and I was ready to get back home.
Oh, really? Hot in St. Louis, huh? Well, it was hot here last week, but over the weekend, it's been like this last few days. It's been super nice in the mid-70s during the day, no humidity, 50s at night. Great sleeping weather, windows open, no AC needed. Perfect.
Hey, BOT, you are absolutely correct, sir.
Well, but judging by your call sign, you're a fairly, I mean, so am I. I mean, I got fitted back in April. I'm going to say you're fairly new then. Congratulations.
KF8BOT, yep. Got mine towards the end of June, and now I'm working towards my general to... But that was just a whole lot more learn.
Oh, there's no shortage of things to learn in this hobby, that's for sure. And no shortage of equipment to mess around with and things to spend money.
KF8BOT. Yeah, I needed yet another black hole to sink all my money into. But yeah, I've had a really good time. Been working with the guys from Lapeer County Amateur Radio Club, and they've been very instructional. It's been pretty great. I took a class for the technician.
Oh, well, that's good. Always nice to have people around to going on, that's for sure. And this is KF8AYL.
KF8AYL, it has been good chatting with you, but I am just pulling into my driveway, so I am going to 73 out of here. But you have a great day and enjoy the rest of this weather.
All righty, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Good chatting with you. KF8AYL.
KD8OSD, Marysville, listening.
KE8RUH, mobile.
KE8CFM.
How's it going, Wally? KF8S.
Pretty good today. Beautiful weather. Warmed up just a tad. Tonight's golf night. Of course, it'll be dry, sunny. So, hopefully I'm going to have a nice, relaxing night. Unless, of course, I screw up my golf game. So, other than that, I've been studying for my general exam. So I can consistently get about 70, 75% on the passing test, but
before I take the real McCoy. I want to get myself up into the 80s.
There you go. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah, I think I crammed it for a week, but I had, it was one of those weeks where I was like, I can't remember if I was off work or sick or something. I just kind of like had nothing else I could do, and I just read the general book, and, you know, there were some video courses online or on YouTube, and I just kind of, various sources, and then hamstudy.org or something like that, they had an app, and I'm sure you know about that, but yeah, you'll get it, you know, I feel like it's the other half of the tech, you know, you get the tech, and then the other half is the HF, so you get the UHF, VHF, and then the HF stuff, so should be good.
Yeah, I'm getting it slowly and surely. So, like I said, this, you know, it's, you and I talked about it before, but like I said, I've been in the 70s, so, you know, this is just barely passing, and I guess it just depends on some of the questions I got, and, you know, I know that they're all randomized, but I'll get it, and after that, I don't think that the advanced one's going to be that hard. I mean, I looked through some of those questions, and that's all kind of stuff that I'm into. This is kind of like stuff that I'm not into. You know, and so that makes it real hard, you know, like FT8 and all this other stuff and packet and all those other fun things. But I'm getting it.
Yeah, for me it was all the math stuff with the polar coordinates and all that stuff. For those ones I just memorized the answer because I knew they weren't going to ask me a question. You know, it was going to be one from the pool. So I just memorize the answers for those ones. And then the ones that I were, like you were saying, like the ones that I was interested in, I kind of spent more time to kind of understand it. But some of those math ones, though, it's like I don't think I'll ever do polar coordinate stuff.
Yeah, you know, and even like, you know, totaling up the resistors and the inductors and the capacitors and, you know, all the 1-overs and all that other stuff. You know, after a while, you know, okay, so let's say you forget it, and if you do get yourself in a situation where, you know, you're going to just look it up. So, you know, but to have to memorize all that stuff, you know, it's like, okay, why do I need to memorize these? So, yeah, it's right. There's only a handful of answers. Memorize the answers, you know. The dial's lost. Just memorize them. Call it good. I mean, if you ever do need to do it in the future, you're going to look it up. Okay, I need a bunch of resistors. I want to do so. I'm looking forward to it. I was looking through and taking some of them, so I might just go take it just to take it. Hopefully, maybe I'll get lucky and I can quit studying.
Yep, that's how I was with the extra. It's like, I just got to try to take it, and that way I can stop studying, and I got lucky I passed it. I could get two more wrong, and that was it. I heard another station out there. Was there another station? Go ahead.
KFABXS, I guess I owe an apology to Dave because my new ham call is quite similar to his. This is Donald from on the other side of the world, WRCY565. Sorry, Dave, I didn't pick it.
I'm just going to call you Boxes now, BXS. Yeah, you can always get a vanity call to match your GRMS one. Like WARCY, and then everybody would know you.
I like that.
Good afternoon, Wally. Yeah, I just got home because I had to run to the bank and take care of some changes to my bank accounts, and I turned this thing on. I heard you out there, Dave, and I got a little bit of a, you know, the guys, I guess, got a good little laugh about how similar my call sign turned out to be, and, I'm starting to jog. I mean, I've only had my license since 6 a.m. Saturday, but, yeah, I'm trying to think of maybe something in the way of a vanity. But RCY, yeah, that might be something I might put on the list. All right, I'll let you two gentlemen get back to it. I just wanted to drop in, say hello to Dave, and again, I apologize, and I'll let you two gentlemen get back. KF8, BXS, we're clear.
Darling, my voice is in the
not your fault, and I don't do nothing.
I don't really. It's a
I was joking. I gotta change my call now.
As long as you're
you know what? There's so many other KF calls. So if I changed it for you, I would. It would be really just changing it for everybody, because I don't want. But it's okay. I just wanted a short call, and that one was the one that was available. The guy was a silent key, and he didn't do much. He didn't have very much of an internet presence, so I thought that one was a nice, safe one. So you can't get, obviously, you can't get an issued 2x1 or 1x2 anymore because they've been all used up. But ironically, the guy got his license at the same time that I did. He was just a Morse code guy, and he was a music teacher. I looked up the guy's obituary to see, you know, I wanted to make sure I wasn't, like, grabbing a call from somebody who was famous and all that. So, anyways, we'll talk to you later. Over to you, Wally.
Yeah, I doubled with it. I was telling Don, I don't know if he heard me or heard you, whoever had the sonar signal. I said, good thing you went to the bank, because he still has to pay the club membership dues. You know, we got to get those in on the thing.
Well, with the check I deposited, we'll probably pay my membership dues for the rest of my life, and I'll just leave it at that. Again, I'll let you guys get back. I got to figure out what I want for dinner. EF8BXS.
Take care. Well, that call's a lot better than a 4x3, so... We don't allow 4x3 calls on this channel.
Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Mostly sunny. 77 degrees.
Go ahead. I think I got it. Go.
I thought I heard it was a KF8. Bravo, Papa, Papa, is that the call?
Eight, Zulu, Tango, Papa. And I was just commenting on what to eat for dinner. I would say hamburgers is always a good choice.
KF8BXS, I don't eat meat anymore. I'm in my upper 60s, so I have to like cool it a little bit. But I was once a meat cutter and a butcher, so I have had my fair share of red meat, but I've walked away from it. Again, I've got to start thinking about dinner. KF8BXS. BXS. That's a tongue twister. RCY does have a nice ring to it. Got to work on that. Thanks.
Yeah, hopefully nobody took it, but you could get, like, N8RCY or whatever, you know, whatever you... It's a vanity call. You can get whatever you want, whatever's comfortable for you. So that's the cool stuff about it. I had an assigned 1x3 back in the day, but I don't know why I changed my call. I think I just was able to get 2x1. So they go, I'll try for it. My buddy down in Texas, he was calling me Fletch for a while because I kept on changing my identity.
It used to be the numbers and the letters kind of meant, and I haven't followed this in a long time, it used to mean kind of like a significance of what class you were. Because, like, I think my first call was 2x3, and then I got this one, and then it was the, you know, the 1x3, and then I thought it used to be like 2x2 and then 1x2 or something like that, depending on where you were on the license scale. Is that still a thing or not no more?
Yeah, they have the classes, obviously. They used to be a little bit more rigid back in the day. So, you know, you go way back in history. People had, like, you know, the KB8 and then a 3 after that. And then, like, if you got rid of your... Oh, no, it was, like, KN. So when you were a novice, you had a KN8 call. And then when you... upgraded the tech, you got rid of the N, so you would still have the same suffix, but the N went away, so it would be K8, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, then that evolved, and then they had the three classes. They had the novice,
to novice, and then the I think you they opened it up for advanced and then extra. You know, this was like back in the 90s. So you hear the people with those alpha 8 whatevers. Those were advanced class for a while. And then they opened up, I think, the general when, there's a big history. I'll have to go find the article because I can't explain it all. It really changed over the years. But, yeah, now you have to be an extra to get, like, alpha 8, whatever, you know, the 2x2 or the, what do you call it, the 1x2s, 2x1s. So, yeah, so I think they reserve, if you go look at the pool, the extra ones are at like alpha and, I forgot what they were at. But those ones are in the 2x2s now. There's a sequence, it's just like the tech and all that have KF8 right now.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, my first song was KV8GCG, and I think that was, I was a technician before I had the Technician Plus, which basically a technician was basically a novice license back then. It didn't really mean anything. And then, you know, I took the CW test. I had to go do someplace, go take that at someplace else. And then I had the Plus, and then I didn't pay any attention to the window, because that's when I was raising kids. I've told that story 100 times before. And then, so now I figured, okay, I'll just go for it. So. And it's kind of exciting. The bug has kind of bit me, and as long as I got the interest, I might as well go for it. So with that, I got to let you go. I am at the golf course, so I'll be clearing your final in 8KPP.
Yep, yeah, I got about a mile to go, and I'm going to be clear, too. Yeah, when I got my no-tech, they were in N8, so they were, like, my old call was N8 NZD, November 8, November Zulu Delta, so they were running through the N8 for the no code techs. But before that, with the novices and all that, yeah, it was KB8, and I don't know if they got the KC8 before they retired it or what. But all right, we'll talk to you later. KF8S Mobile.
Good evening, 1800 hours, mostly sunny, 76 degrees.
WEAP monitoring.
AEA, CFM, how you doing?
Hey, David, where are you right now? Up north? I mean, north of here, not up north.
I'm in the North Channel. Colton and I snuck out to do a few hours of fishing. We're driving to the next fishing spot here through the no-wait zone.
Roger. Yeah. Definitely got to use that boat a lot this year. That's cool. Did you make it up to Lexington last night? I know you guys were talking about it, seeing the Northern Lights.
No, I wasn't going to head up there. I was just going to try to contact him once he got set up, but I wound up going to sleep. But looking at the pictures, I should have went up there. I should have just made the trip. I almost went to at least Westville to look, but I got kind of lazy last night.
Roger. Well, I didn't even look out the window. It's got those big lights across the street, but well, last time I saw the Northern Lights, even though they had the lights on across the street, so I probably should have went outside and looked.
You look about as good as last time, like, what, a couple months ago?
Basically, I mean, if you see the pictures I threw up there, you know, I could barely see the colors with my naked eye. But in Rochester Hills, there was quite a few people who said you could see them with the naked eye really well. And it looks like what Captain Don seen was pretty good.
Yeah, I remember years ago seeing them really super bright with the naked eye. Yeah, the camera definitely brings out the colors better than the naked eye does. But I've seen them, like, way brighter than that with the naked eye before in the 70s. Sometime back in the 70s, I don't remember.
Well, the ones we had in May, I mean, for that 10-minute period, they were right over my house, and it was really bright. It was pretty cool. At least the brightest I've seen them.
Yeah, when I saw them when I was a kid, they were from the ground, you know, from the horizon, all the way straight up overhead, like, you know, full 90 degrees or whatever.
Yeah, it's not often that the picture you take is what you actually see.
Yeah, my friend's lake he has behind his house, so I go fishing in. It's a catch and release, but there is one fish in there that's eating all the other fish. And is, I don't know if the state has a $200 reward or he does, but anyhow, one neighbor kid caught it, released it, took a picture of it, and my neighbor goes, well, that's the $200 fish. And the kid like, comes back every day trying to catch it again.
Yeah, lightning don't strike twice. All right, well, I'm gonna duck out here for a few minutes and get set up. We just got to where we're going, so I'll chat with you later. TEATFM.
Roger, before you go real quick, what are you using for a radio and antenna?
I got my 778, is it? It mounted in the boat, and then I got the 2x4.
That's a good setup, I was wondering. All right, catch you later, man. WADAP. Big fish eat the little fish. There's always a bigger fish. Yuppers.
I wonder if that opening? No.
I've seen some flags. Like grand opening flags by the, old produce palace that they closed down. Thought something new was popping up. But it's just the other businesses trying to advertise. Hey, how up? I'm way home from work or way past that? Nope, getting home from work. There's a bunch of people that are off on vacation. Some people called in and some people are on vacation, so we're really short staffed, so they wanted me to work a little bit longer, but I could use the overtime. What the heck?
Yep, as long as it's not a lot all the time, it's not bad. Did they grate my street? Can't tell. But, little ain't bad. It's just when it gets to be a regular thing, you know, and which is indicative of them not staffing properly.
Yeah, I was quite surprised that they let so many key people, like team leaders and head technicians, all take off at the same time. Well, one of the guys is jury duty. He's stuck in jury duty for like 3 weeks in federal court downtown. That's got to be terrible. It's got to be the worst. Unanticipated. But yeah, I was surprised so many key people either had vacations or called in. Makes it a lot quieter and I can get more work done.
I thought everybody went to that court system or that jury duty system where you just have one day and if you don't get called, then you're done until next time.
not the feds. Anyhow, I just pulled up with Foodski, so I got to get in. I'll catch you from inside in a few minutes, if you're still here. WFU.
Roger, no, you won't catch me. I'm just making the turn on my street, so I'll catch you later, though. WADAP.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Mostly sunny. 75 degrees.
KF8BWP, looking for KE8ORD. KE8ORD.
KFATP, Mobile.
Good evening, 2000 hours. Sunny. 74 degrees.
BTI, KK6J calling. Negative copy on KF8 BTI, KK6J clear.
KE8FXG testing. This is KE8FXG calling for KE8QQY. Dave, do you hear me? Over. KE8FXG clear.
Good evening. 21 hours. Clear. 69 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours. Clear. 63 degrees.
Hello. Hello. Radio.
Sorry, I left my HT somewhere. I had to fire up another HT to find my HT that I set down. And then my wife was on the phone, so I couldn't talk to you because I had answered the phone and talked to her. She's not coming home tonight.
Up some overtime, extra shift or something?
Yeah, she's going to work until 3.
Oh, that's good.
You have one of those nights where everything that you touch just goes to hell. You're not going to have one of those nights. I couldn't get either one of your sons to go through and authorize. If the device isn't on, it's not going to authorize. So, I guess we'll just have to coordinate when we're going to do his.
Roger, Jose was planning to do it tomorrow evening or something. My veteran TV isn't on either. turn nothing on.
Roger, the bedroom TV's not on either.
Just turn my bedroom TV on if you want to. Can if you want, it's no big deal.
All right, what's the last 2 digits of the MAC address? Let me make sure I get the right one.
Just bring up that program. It should list it up in the, on the screen somewhere.
The last 2 digits are 1F, so the last 4 would be 8B colon 1F.
All righty. This probably tell you it's about out of time too, huh?
I can't find where it does. It just talks about the current playlist expiring on September 2nd, but I don't have any information. But it's first one, so.
According to this, I already paid for it. And it says that it's active until expiration date of 12/31 of 2100.
There's an account page, yep, 12/31/2100.
Now you know how to tell, huh?
Yes, I do.
So I just got to make sure your husband, your son's was taken care of. Tell you, my brain is fried. It's been a long day. Yeah, we'll concentrate on your son's tomorrow evening, maybe a little bit earlier. I don't know what time he's around, so. We'll figure it out.
How long to have his TVs on? Like, well, I'm sure the one TV's going to be on, but the bedroom, I'm not really sure. I'll just tell him to make sure they're both on, you know, from like between 8 and 10. Does that work?
Yeah. Yeah, as long as I remember to do it, Lance, it should be fine. It's a brain dead thing, you know?
Getting old sucks.
Yeah, went through that earlier today with the son. Doing the brakes on the back of that Volkswagen Passant. Passant. Maybe I just like saying Passant. Of course, you know, it's four-wheel disc, and you have to screw in the rear calipers to use them to collapse. So that took a... It's like, oh, crap. I gotta have the tool to do this. It's like, well, should be one in there in the toolbox. Well, I don't know where to look, so I went in there and got it. I said, well, it's gonna be in with all the brake stuff, you know, brake tubing, brake lines, you know, tubing cutters, all in the bottom drawer, rolls of brake line. So he said, and I pulled it out, and I said, well, here, find one that's close. He said, well, this one's close, but it's not quite right. I said, well, what is it? He said, what's wrong with it? He said, all the dots aren't quite far enough apart. And I said, here, let me see it. So I took it in and I took it to the angle grinder. I made the dots a little bit smaller and a little bit further apart. I said, it should work now.
I keep a C-clamp around for those things.
Well, on the rear disc, you have to screw the caliper in because it's got the emergency brake on it, too. You know, when you go to collapse it.
I don't think I've ever done brakes on a car that had rear discs.
Well, you're lucky.
Those are no fun either.
Yeah, obviously I've done them because I had the tools. But that's what I told him. I says, just like he went to take the calipers off. He didn't take the calipers off at the slide pins. He unbolted them down lower where they bolt on to the, you're unbolting the mounting bracket for the caliper. He said, well, this is the way I've always done it. I said, well, it's not really the way you're supposed to do it. I said, but it'll work. I said, it's just a little more work.
On a separate note, did you do anything on your scooters? Did you do anything with the battery packs? Have you been into those packs at all?
As far as reflashing them? Yeah.
The battery packs themselves.
Yeah, they were all flat when I got them. I had to revive them, so yeah, I've been in them. I think we had to reflash a couple of EEPROMs in them, too. But I can't remember if that was on these scooters or if it was on the other scooters. You know.
After the lithium batteries sit so long, you know, you have to fight with them to get them to charge. So I've got the my bench power supply in there. It'll do like 20 amps at 70 volts. You know, so I can dial it down to 42 volts, which is what the battery packs were that I was dealing with run at.
The battery pack in my e-bike is, I don't know, it's not that old. It doesn't get a lot of use, and it's probably only had less than a dozen charge cycles on it, but it's starting to get where it's just not lasting long. It's just getting worse and worse, and I suspect it's because it's not charging all the way because the, you know, how they're arranged, these 18650 batteries, some in series, some in parallel. I suspect some are, it's unbalanced. So I'm trying to figure out the best way to balance charge them, and near as I can figure, I'm going to take them apart and, you know, do them individually.
Yeah, we brought these ones up slowly over a few hours at about 2 amps at 43 or 44 volts. They all came back up. But, yeah, you probably will. Yeah, I'm sure these ones have got 18650 batteries in them, too. The electric scooters I've got, it actually got two battery packs. There's a battery pack in the vertical bar where the handlebars mount onto, and then there's a battery pack that mounts onto them. So, you know, that gives it the extended range.
I think these are like 70 volts.
Pass
the way they were
ran. Yeah, it's a little bit hefty.
Good evening. 23 hours. Partly cloudy. 16 degrees.
And I don't far yet. I'm a little nervous about it, but I'm sure I'll have access to the theory sections and go through and just charge the parallel section, you know, by itself.
Yeah, doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but I'm sure you can get her done. I gotta go back to the house. When I dropped my drink, I broke the straw. Excuses. Third world country problems.
My straw drink broke from my drink. I can't get no drink out of it. Okay.
You know, I dug out a lot of shit today for not getting much accomplished.
It might be yesterday, but I got a lot accomplished anyway.
Well, I guess we did too. We were, I was supposed to take the kids for a motorcycle ride today. I wanted to do that after I got the windshield done. But then my son needed my help, so, and I couldn't abandon him.
Yeah, I've got to, this week sometime, I got to help my son with his truck having a problem where he's getting a message on the screen that the electronic throttle control.
I miss those days. We used to go through that on a daily basis with the garbage trucks we had, because they all had, you know, basically a rheostat for a throttle pedal.
I'm not really sure. This is I can't remember what year it is. It's a fairly recent model guy with a Hemi in it. And maybe it's just dirty. I'm going to pull the throttle body off and clean it out and see what that does to me.
So you're going to actually clean the throttle body itself. It's not actually a wiring problem, then hopefully.
I'm going to give that a try. I'll pull it off and brush it out, spray it a little bit, see if that works. But we cleared the code on it. A couple weeks ago, he had the same problem, and it was okay for a while, but it came back again, so we're going to have to deal with it.
Did you put it in a limp mode or anything?
It's messed up. The RPMs don't drop. I mean, sometimes it wants to idle it. 3,000 RPM, and you can't drive it. It's about 10 or something.
Roger.
WOT. Can they get Terry's machine up and running, put a new motor on it?
She's struggling with the motor that doesn't work right. And the 18-year-old girl is supposed to come in and relieve her at 11 o'clock. Didn't show up. Did a call, a no call, no, you know, didn't, called in. So, she's fighting with it. She said, I've had a long day and it's not going to get any easier. And she's got two job changes, too.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to go help the neighbor this afternoon. Well, I should say this evening. Cut some tree branches off the roof of his barn, but he never texted me, so I never went over there.
Sometime this week I gotta tackle a tree in the backyard, cut it down. It's dead, and there's just the very left goes up about 25 feet or so. But I gotta get it out of here before it falls on my fence.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
That's an old ash tree that's infested with ants, and I think ash borers killed it a long time ago, but it's been dropping piece by piece, but now it's left into two branches or two major portions left, and
yeah.
One of them is really bad shape, and if it comes down, it's going to fall on my fence.
It's never no fun. Yeah, I got one in the front yard. I lose branches from time to time. It's freaking huge, so. One day a storm came up and I heard this crack, lightning crack. And next thing I see, all the lights in the house flashed on and off, on and off, on and off, and then they went off, and then the generator fired up. It's like, oh, crap. That was close. So I walk outside and I look. And a big old branch about 1 foot around came out of that tree, came down and took the wires going from the telephone pole to the house and laid them on the ground.
This tree in the back, the stump or the part at the bottom where we got to cut, it's about 3 feet in diameter, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah, you're sure now too far away for me to drive a backhoe over to help you.
Cousin over, we'll get his truck in the backyard and put a rope on it and see if we can't do it safely. It's not really in danger of hitting any buildings. I just want to keep it off my chain link fence.
You had a good length of half inch rope?
He's got all the ropes, and between us we got a couple decent chainsaws, so... He's fairly confident he can get it done, so I'm okay with it, I guess. He'll take the lead.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I've been fairly lucky. I got the backhoe, and then I got the other tractor with a big blade on the front and a back blade on it. So, when it comes time to move the trees and crap around here, made it into child's play.
No kidding. That'd be a huge help. But, yeah, we'll get it done. He takes all the wood anyways. He burns it in the wintertime, so.
Yeah, well, I was lucky enough to get to bring the neighbor's chainsaw home and fix it for him. And I sharpened the chain on it, and I took it back over to him. It's almost a brand new chainsaw. It looked like it had only been used once. But somehow he knocked the chain off of it. Not only did he knock the chain off of it, but when he put the chain back on, he put it on backwards. And the way those chains are built, the chain won't even rotate when it's backwards.
Yeah, the last few times I've had to do anything, I kind of stopped sharpening the chainsaws. It was too much work. You can buy chains now, they're so cheap, it doesn't even seem like it's worth it.
like $7 a piece. You're almost right. Yeah. When I was married to my first wife, I worked for Ted Waters and Sons and Stockers. We did oil field exposition. We prepped the land for them to come in and drill on. We did the brine pits. We cut down, and, you know, we clear, you know, a 10-acre section of land for them to come in and work on when they come in to drill for a well, you know. And that was remove the trees, just dump, cut everything up.
Yeah, I have these small 16-inch, 14-inch Poland Tipo chainsaws, and I tried sharpening the blades on them before. I don't think I ever did it right, but I could cut some stuff up here and there, but now I got a decent chainsaw. I'm going to take care of this.
Yeah, we used to sharpen the chains every other fuel tank, so it only take you 4 strokes a link that way. Sad part is I ordered some die grinding wheels for chainsaw sharpening, but I think I ordered them too big.
Last summer the city came through and the Board of Water and Light contracts as tree service, and they came through and they cut down a huge maple tree in the front yard that was a danger to the power lines, I guess. And they had some serious chainsaws, and they got down, they were bottom of this one, and this trunk in the front yard is, you know, it's like 4 feet. Ground as he could, and blaze trees, tore up this nice, I don't know, I think it was a 10-foot hill or something like that.
Sounds like a big ass saw.
Just kept putting new chains on it until he got through, and then when they found the stump apart, then they saw there was a big old rock that had grown right inside the tree.
Imagine there's a lot of stuff inside of trees.
No, I think it sort of makes sense. It never occurred to me before. He seemed to know what it was going to be, and I guess his only option was to just keep going until he got through it.
Is it past all your old-time people's bedtime?
Probably.
No, if you don't go to bed on time, you don't get any pudding.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't get your ass out of bed until 10 o'clock in the morning. You don't have to worry about it.
I got up at... Hold on. What time did I get up? I got up at 9:30 today.
Yeah, so did I.
I've been listening, but I was listening to Trump and Elon, so they just finished.
Yeah, I'm currently sitting outside, probably doing something I shouldn't be doing, but, you know.
Well, Carrie should be getting, I would think she's supposed to be getting home pretty quick.
What is all this tomfoolery?
Yeah, she got forced over. She'll be up there until 3.
Oh, holy hell. Tomfoolery, you mean actually using the repeaters? I don't know. Yeah, Michelle's upstairs. I hear she went up to bed. I hear the TV on. I don't know. She goes in tomorrow at noon, so I don't know why she went upstairs to bed already. But she's not asleep because I hear the TV on. She works seven days straight before she gets a day off on her new job. Sometimes she goes in at 8, some days she goes in at 10, tomorrow she goes in at noon. So her schedule's all over.
Well, I hope she enjoys it.
I don't know. She's like, they do things back assward compared to Rite Aid. Well, put up with it. Learn the way they do it, because that's the way they want it done.
Sean, what are you doing up? Aren't you supposed to be in bed? Or do you not work tomorrow because, you know, you're old?
No, just cat videos got me down a hole. So, you know, looking to pull the plug real soon. Saw some activity, thought I'd turn it up, say hi. Hey, did you catch that site chunking incident a little earlier? It didn't, it only did it once. I guess they're chasing that echo issue in zone 2.
I heard it, but I was in the other room, so I just, you know, I figured it was the state, you know, being the state. That or Brooks tripped over a wire.
Yep, let me see if you got it. Yeah, and I figured as much. When it only happened once, I just didn't worry too much about it. I think Paul's on call. I was going to give him a call, but then I figured, I suppose, why ask for trouble? I'd hear something if there was a problem. Now, they've had all sorts of artists. Our big centers down here have been having all sorts of trouble since Friday, and they don't seem to have any grasp on it. Anywho, I just want to jump in here and see who is kicking up the electrons, say good evening and all that, but getting ready to pull the plug here because I'm going to work tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I got 19 hours in RA this week, so between yesterday and today, now I have to go to Lowell Thursday or Friday, and then Hastings on Saturday, so I'm probably going to take tomorrow off. Tomorrow, I'm probably not going to work tomorrow, but we'll see.
All right, well, just make sure you get your time, or get paid. I'm sure you will. I didn't hear who else was in there, so I'll say 7-3. Catch you guys later. W-8-F-U.
All right, Sean, have a good night. This is N-8-O-B-U. Lance is out here somewhere. Your Fred's out here. You're out here every night. It's just normally I remember to unlink the other repeaters or we chat here locally. Apparently I forgot to after the net yesterday. So here we are, one big happy family.
Running up everybody's
electric
bill.
Oh, sorry, I doubled. Hey, so here we are, running up everybody's electric bill.
Yep.
Well, need to use them from time to time.
I think that's why we put them up.
I thought it was for bow fangs.
Oh, that's right.
Well, wait, so Carrie, is that a 12-hour shift then? Because I think, doesn't she go on it 2 or 3?
Yeah, the 19-year-old that was supposed to take over for her. To be honest with you, I think she's stripping before she goes to work. And I think some nights she gets a little bit better off for at the strip club than she can get at work. But I can't prove it. But she showed up in the short shorts with glitter in her hair last Friday.
But it's a Monday. Okay, I'm not a strip club aficionado, but is a Monday night a hop-in night at a strip club around Lansing?
I will have to ask Lance. He's out at them all the time.
I think that. Wait, does Terry work more towards Howell, or is it towards Mason?
Fowlerville.
Fowlerville, that's what it is.
Something keeps making me cough. I'm not sure what it is.
Hold on, I gotta look it up. There could be there's lots of weird things in Fowlerville.
She works for a company called Raytech. She makes the compounding beads that they use in the plastic injection moldings to make plastic car parts and stuff for the Army.
Well, I was actually looking for a strip club near Fowlerville, but okay, I found Carrie's work. Okay, Yelp, top 10 strip clubs near Fowlerville, Michigan.
18-year-old female stripping.
It's, you know, it takes all kinds, Mike.
It was a deja vu. They had to sign up for the longest time, only 68 beautiful strippers and one ugly one or something.
Hey, you can't, you know, different strokes for different folks. But actually, there is literally no, I mean, according to Yelp, there is no strip clubs in Fotherville. You got Jackson, Ann Arbor, Lansing, and Flint. That's your circle.
I would suspect, since she lives in Mason, that if she was going to dance at a strip club, it would probably be Lansing. So that would route anyway. Up to Jolly and Cedar to the strip club. No, it's not Jolly and Cedar. It's Jolly and Martin Club. And up onto the expressway and take that around to Fowlerville to get off to go to the work for the other job.
I don't know. I guess a Monday night, man. Monday night. That's not what I plan on my Monday night.
You know, Fred, think of it this way. Strip clubs are like beer, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Don't they also have, like, a phase or something? Because I'm looking at the Yelp reviews here, and it says, this one here says it's got the best buffet in town. You leave your wife at home.
I'm surprised it doesn't say fish fry Friday.
It's only during Lent. This one here says top entertainment, and the food is phenomenal. The women are beautiful. Don't bring your wife. 3 stars. Okay. And then the picture for their thing is actually like a lobster and steak dinner.
Oh, I was wondering if it was finger food.
I'm looking at a picture of lobster tail, scallops, steak, asparagus, mashed potatoes, and looks like drawn butter on a plate. That's the photo they put for their Yelp review.
At my age, the thought of a good idea is going to Leo's Coney Island, not to a strip club.
Well, they're not the best around here, so. Don't know if I want to go to a Leo's. I've never been impressed with them around here.
Yeah, some places I've been to one or two that were terrible, but most of them are pretty damn good. But hey, remember, Fenton's where I got in a fight at the Wendy's and I threw the hamburger at the people behind the counter.
Is it Fenton or Holly?
Well, I think there was one, I thought that we were in Fenton at the time. It was just down the road from your work, but it closed after that.
Well, that would have been Fenton then, because, yeah, that one closed a while ago. Yeah. But they didn't charge you for your sauce, though, like they do in Lansing.
No, they just couldn't figure out how to get the order right.
Somebody's yelling at me.
What? Your chair is right there. Go sit in it.
If you don't want to sit in your chair, I can't. Yeah, I know. I can't help you.
Hey, Lance, Fred's another one with animals that rules his house. He's got cats that boss them around daily.
Roger, we've got the dogs, that one cat. Cat makes me miserable, dogs make me happy.
Yeah, we have the two cats. Kilo's really good. Gypsy is my little pistol. She's just... We were in my workshop tonight, and I had a server sitting on her chair, and, oh, I didn't hear the end of it. She was jumping up and things, so I had to move the server over to the rolly cart and clean her chair off, and as I did that, she finally settled down and sat in her chair right next to me while I was soldering. Of course, now that I'm in my office, I'm holding her like a little football. She knows it's like bedtime and I should be upstairs. So
so that she can sleep on my head. But I'm down here.
I had a female cat once that would sleep on my head, too. I mean, literally on my head. Her belly would be on my head. Her legs would be on both sides of my ears. Every night.
So, yeah, so, yeah, she... Between the pillows and Michelle and I, she'll either nuzzle, like, right there along my pillow or up on my pillow. Kilo will usually lay between my legs on top of the blanket or sometimes along my thigh between Michelle and I. So. He's not that bad. She's not too bad either, except for she gets into trouble. Well, 12-pound pile of fluff that rules my life. But... Sounds kind of nice out right now. I got, with the windows, we just shut the air off last Thursday, I think. Yeah. And had the windows open since, so turned the air off, had the windows open, so fresh air has been really nice.
Yeah, I usually sit outside from 10:30 to midnight. Nightly. The bird takes a nap. The dog's usually out here with me, but I locked him in his cage earlier because I was working on stuff in me. Just me and the pooty cat. She's sitting up here on the fence. And it'll be you. Hey, Lance, how fast will that electric bike go?
At about 20 miles an hour, but... You know, it's a heavy bike, 75 pounds or so, and I've had it up to 30, but that's kind of dangerous. It has only 20-inch wheels on it, so it's a folding bike. I mean, it's great for, you know, putzing around, but it's not really built for speed.
You know, these two Lime scooters that I got sitting here will do 34 kilometers. That's a joyful ride.
The bike has got, you know, it's a fat tire deal with its 20-inch wheels, and it, you know, it's a lot of rotating mass. It doesn't like to turn very well. It's, like I said, it's okay, but it was a little, took a little bit to get used to it.
I've seen a few of the BMX versions that look pretty impressive, but I don't know how long they would last.
This is sort of built as a mountain bike, but I don't know, it weighs so much that it's not much fun on, you know, on bumpy roads or off-road.
So are those two-wheel drive, or do they just have one tire that drives?
The hub motor in the rear wheel. But.
It still sounds like it'd be fun.
Yes, I enjoy it. I use it for exercise, and I know, you know, the electric bike for exercise, but, you know, you put in as much work as you want, and it'll still get you home.
Oh, I bet. 75 pounds of push pedaling wouldn't be a lot of fun.
Is that right?
Those things were standing at the back door, arguing with a cat, trying to get to come inside. Do you know the minute you turn and you walk away, she's going to be up at the door, knocking on the door, meowing, you know?
Oh, my 40 meters.
That one didn't make it. We don't know what you said.
I said my 40-meter signal is making it down to South Africa right now. Looking at my map. Who's hearing me?
Roger. 40 meters seems to be a pretty decent band. I find myself there a lot of nights.
Looking at PSK reporter, I'm getting decoded all across the West Coast, South America,
in Europe, right where the gray line is. And then two stations in South Africa.
Radio waves, they're just awesome, man.
I'm bouncing them all over the place, man. I gotta get the HF set up at the house before the snow flies.
Yeah, I got a little work I need to get done, too. Looking for my banky. I'm gonna climb into my lazy bastard chair and massage the television remote. Carrie's got it cold enough in here where I need the damn blanket.
You're on the air conditioning?
Yep, she's got the AC on. She pays the bill, so it's whatever. It doesn't matter to me.
I was gonna say, 'cause it's 59 degrees outside here. It says it's 72 in my office, but 59 outside.
You know, she works in a hot-ass factory all day. She wants to pay the bill. She wants the house cold. I don't care. Isn't that terrible? You know, it doesn't matter to me.
Incoming.
Whoa, Rocky. You didn't announce. You didn't hack. You know, she says hack before he flies. He didn't tonight. He just flew over to me.
Well, she got tired of sitting in my arms, so she just jumped down. I'm thinking she'd go upstairs, so I probably should do the same. I don't hear any noises from above me, so I think either Michelle turned the TV off or she went to bed.
I hear you. I like to put my HT down and sit here and play with my little pecker. He just wants a little bit of attention before he goes to sleep for the night. Normally, Carrie's home to cuddle with him. She's not here, so he comes to me. Something about him, he's very, 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 very social. Yeah. He does not have a problem flying over and landing on you.
Well, that's good. He does the same way. He likes, it takes a few minutes, but he'll, after you've been around him for a few minutes, and if you're new, he'll come over and see you and say, what's up? You got any paper for me? Or cardboard?
The paper towel rolls. They love paper towel rolls.
Exactly. Alright. I'm gonna go upstairs, take my shoes off, and grab a refill my water bottle on the way by. Good night, Lance. Night, Mike.
WFS. All right, Fred. You have a good night. Lance, you have a good night, too. I'll set the HD over here on the side and give this little birdie some attention so I can go to sleep. Because he wants his time. He's decent enough to fly over and request, then I'll give him his time that he deserves. And it'll be you.
We're settling down for a movie, and I'm halfway through an ice cream sundae, so I'm going to jump off. I'll call it a night. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Mike. 73 to you.
73, and it'll be you.